Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answer All Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Sarah over there.
Hello there.
And there's Chris over there.
To see you all again.
Now, everybody, there are plenty of historical events that are shrouded in mystery, and there are those in which we feel we might not have been given the correct or full information. Today, we're answering this question. What mystery would you like to see solved?
I would love to see the mystery of Loch Ness solved.
Oh, what a start.
Straight in there.
What a start.
So I mean...
There could be a monster, Chris. You think there could be?
Or a dinosaur? I mean, there are...
Yeah, you actually think that?
Could be.
Really?
There's legends across the world, isn't there, about like... I mean, crocodiles are still dinosaurs. There's loads of stuff in the deep that we just haven't seen or we don't know.
I mean, how deep Might is be. Loch Ness?
Exactly. And the fact that, you know, you get all these lovely grainy photographs, there must be something there, Sarah.
I'm just really happy with the explanations that have been, like, I just feel like they've looked into it so much and so many times they've been like, it's literally just a log. It's fine. I'm sorry. Loch Ness takes up absolutely zero space in my brain.
Loch Ness, you're calling it.
I will.
When I write my expose on it, that's what it'll be called.
Every now and then, reputable newspapers like the Daily Star might produce a picture. And,
Sport.
You know, you don't trust them, yeah?
As I say, my brain space. Like, you know, sometimes you read about a mystery or something that's happened and you can't stop thinking about it. You're like, oh, no, when are we gonna know?
Yeah.
When are we going to know how Pete Davidson keeps on getting attractive women?
I mean, hey, that is a mystery. Yeah.
I would tell you what, Chris, you went in two-footed there, a very enthusiastic
start. Yeah, yeah.
I think seldom on this show.
I feel like Sarah jumped over me there. Yeah. So I completely missed the challenge.
Very much poured a reservoir worth of water over your little bonfire there. But I think on this show, sometimes we can be a bit, did we answer that? Did we sort of... did we conclude on that particular topic? I think we have really on Loch Ness, because I agree with Sarah. It takes up zero a portion of...
You're not losing any sleep.
There's not one bit of you that thinks it could be a dinosaur.
No, absolutely
no,
not.
Because even if it was a dinosaur, Chris, I think you'll find that the current climate and conditions that our planet has are not conducive for dinosaurs to roam around. Hence, they're not. Yes, I understand your point about crocodiles, but crocodiles, you know, you can see how things have evolved. You go, okay, I see what's happened there. But that, I mean, they are crocodiles. They're not defined as dinosaurs.
Chris has been absolutely savaged. We're 3 minutes in and he's been savaged.
Well, don't worry. Chris will...
I'm out. All right, and see you guys.
Yeah, but you never know, Sarah, that he may have... That could be a decoy. When he gets another go, it could be a home run. Well, go on then,
trust
Sarah.
Trust me, it's not. That's my best.
Sarah, what about you? What mystery would you like to be solved?
I'll give you one.
Load your weapon.
Mine is, have you heard of the Dyatlov Pass incident?
No.
No.
Oh, right. Tell you what, once we're done here, go away and read about it. I'll give you the very briefly. It was in, I think it was in the 50s. Yeah. A bunch of hikers were discovered dead in the Dyatlov Pass, which I want to say is Russia, but I'm not entirely sure. Didn't research that enough. Uh-huh. But basically, nobody has ever been able to explain what happened to them. Initially, it looked like it was probably hypothermia. That's obviously quite classic. This was very, very cold and snowy.
Yeah, I mean, immediately, that's what I thought, to be perfectly honest with you.
But, okay, so some of them looked like they might have had hypothermia. But then one body had evidence of a blunt force trauma, which was consistent with a really brutal assault. Another had third-degree burns. One had been vomiting blood. One was missing their tongue. And some of their clothing was found to be radioactive.
Flipping heck.
And to this day, like people, aliens. You know, it's the classic thing where people keep saying, oh, we think we found the answer, but no one has ever really been able to come up with a very satisfactory theory for what actually happened to them.
That's fascinating, that.
I would love to find out what happened there.
It was in Russia. It was They died in the northern Ural Mountains.
That's it.
Of which I have actually seen in the... In,
have you?
In the, yeah, I was going to say in the flesh, or... but poor turn of phrase after what you've just described there. from a distance, I saw them, yeah. Yeah. Which means, you know, maybe I should throw my weight behind this.
Well, don't talk to me about the Ural Mountains, mate. Saw them from a distance. So I can probably solve this within a couple of days.
I'm kind of an expert. Actually.
Yeah, that is quite interesting. It's, okay, so I think I'm going to read up on that. That does kind of quite fascinating. Because as you said, when you first said it, I thought, you know, without sounding callous, of course, you know, hikers, you know, in the mountains
makes sense.
So on. And then you start bringing in all sorts of other bits and pieces of information and you think, like, did they all go sort of mad and start?
Yeah,
like,
that's been a theory. It's just one of those ones where, you know, when it's like, there are lots of like theories that sort of could explain it, but nothing's really satisfactory. Honestly, it's one of those ones that I could read a lot about because it's very interesting. Obviously, very tragic. But there we are. There's one from me.
I like that.
That's good. That's giving me food for thought.
Yeah. up your game for your next suggestion.
I don't think that's dinosaur related either. So that's good, Sarah.
Tell you what, that would be a mystery, eh?
For me, the classic one is who shot JFK. You know, now I know that Lee Harvey Oswald, it was kind of put on, and there's lots of conspiracy theories around this, but I think it's standard thinking that we haven't been given everything with regards to that and so on, because that, I mean, with that story. I think about that. That was in, what, the 1960s? Not that long ago. And we're talking about the President of the United States being assassinated in front of a parade of people. But I think sometimes the facts and the reality of that particular story, because it's such a well-trodden and well-told story, or well-investigated and documented and so on, one can forget. But, like, any president being assassinated is obviously shocking and horrible, blah, 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 caveat, you know. But, it would be a huge thing if a president in a country which, you know, far away or whatever, you know, that happened. We're talking about the United States, you know, it's madness, absolute madness. That would be an obvious one. But
want the full story.
I want the full story.
Yeah.
I want to know.
There's also mystery with a lot of these things, especially that, where why don't we know the truth by now type thing? Like, there's you know, there's lots of people must know the truth, and how is it, hasn't it come out?
Well, I think you're right, because, you know, Freedom of Information Act and so on, but I think that's such a huge one that, you know, if indeed it was, as some conspiracy theories say, like the CIA or whatever, then I think that even now people would perhaps lose faith, or it would just cause a little bit of uproar.
Right. So whichever side of the political spectrum you're on, you couldn't use it for points, because you were saying, actually, this undermines the system of which we're a part of, and actually the system is more important.
Now, to me, I think scoring. Yeah, I think to me that some people would say, and I think this is fair enough, well, look, that was, even though on one hand it wasn't that long ago, you could say, well, that was decades ago and it was a very different time, and you know, we've moved on, and obviously that's not going to happen again, but then people could easily argue, yeah, but history is secular, or whatever the term is, you know, so it's
cyclical.
Secular, it's sickening.
I think you are
history
half,
is sickening.
Half circular and half
cyclical.
A little bit sickening.
Exactly. History is circular. It's spherical. History, there's something about a radius. Anyway, and so people, but people, not that that would maybe happen again, but I think people would say that kind of, those kind of decisions and secrets and so on, could, you know, what if you we couldn't trust them in the 60s, why could you trust them now? But it's a bit like the moon landings, another one.
Yeah.
That's another great one, isn't it? That there's so many theories about that. Because if they went, we mugged you all off. People who would remember seeing that on television and being blown away would feel, oh my goodness, what you're telling me, that it would be like a child brutally being told that Santa Claus didn't exist, something like that.
But even, as we were saying, even if people weren't alive now who'd remembered these events, you still couldn't undermine the system of government.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the big thing, isn't it? So even if it was 50 years on,
exactly,
and it's still the way it is, people would be like, hang on, we can't trust you at all now.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately it. Even though some people say, well, actually, if something's worth undermining, maybe it desperately needs it. Well, totally, but those making the decisions may feel differently, you know, our overlords, if you will. Chris, go on then, have another swing. What have you got for us?
Well, I think this is actually stolen from Sarah from previous episodes.
Oh,
is the mystery of Walker's crisp packets, Sarah?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
That's a good one.
That's me drawing you in. You can explain it better.
If you want to hear about this in depth, we talked about it on our conspiracy theories episode. Chris, do you want me to give a brief?
Please do, yeah.
Basically,
you'll be better at it than I am.
Strongly believe that Walker's swapped the colour of their crisp packets.
They did.
Because currently, cheese and onion are... cheese and onion are blue.
Yeah.
And salt and vinegar are green. I remember when they switched them around. They used to be the other way. Walker's denies this ever happened.
Do you think Walker's do that just for the lols?
I don't know how deep this goes, to be honest.
Well, I think it goes to the top. And I think
CIA.
Well, talking of undermining systems and so on, I think to quote Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men, I don't think we could handle the truth on this one. But I think the only thing I would say is that we all know in this country, salt and vinegar crisps are in blue packets. Everyone does that. And cheese and onion are in green packets.
Exactly.
Everybody does that. Pringles do it.
That's what they were like when I was a girl.
A bit more later to the party, certainly in this country. But everybody does that. I just wonder if Walker's, like, because I remember going, oh, they're green sort of. It. That's really, really weird. Was it always like that? Or did they just release those flavors? I don't know. It is a mystery. I'll grant you that.
This I lose a lot of sleep over.
I know you do.
Because I
basically had to think on my feet after you destroyed my last one. I was like, how can I actually get Sarah on side?
Get
I basically signed. If I side with the bully, then actually I won't get bullied.
That's a good. And also, you've landed a blow there because you're thinking, you have a go at me. I'm going to make sure you don't get a good night's sleep tonight.
I'm already
hoping
off
it was one of yours and I've nicked it.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. Well, Sarah, I mean, obviously you're very much in line with that one. But do you have any others?
What other
mysteries would you like to solve?
Not necessarily a specific mystery, but something that I do find myself thinking about quite a lot is like sort of cases of missing people.
Oh yeah, okay.
And especially missing children. You know, the classic one from the UK is Madeleine McCann. We still don't know what happened to her. Obviously, very upsetting case. But there are lots and lots of missing people, lots of missing children. And I just, it's that idea that somebody knows what's happened.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like someone knows, and we may never know, but like somebody does, and it really kind of makes my brain go a bit funny thinking about the idea that like somebody knows the answers and they might never share them. And like it's the same with you know, some, like, obviously there are unsolved murders, and then the one that for some reason always bothered me was do you remember Oscar Pistorius?
Him,
the athlete who
South
African athlete, that was it, was convicted of the murder of his partner, and all I remember watching that trial because I was working at a newspaper at the time. And all through it, you know, it was him saying it was a horrible, horrible accident. He was crying, he was vomiting in court, and it was very, very emotional.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, he knows the truth.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
totally.
I'm totally with you on that.
Did it, and he knows it, and this is really, really grim. Well, it's grim either way. But and if he knows that he's innocent, what a horrendous experience he's having. And just that those mysteries of what really happened to that person or what really happened there, I do lose a bit of sleep over those.
I agree completely. And on the back of that, talking of missing people, one that kind of quite fascinates me is Richie Edwards, the former guitarist of the Manic Street Preachers. Now, Manic Street Preachers, many people will know, of course, they were a huge band. Some of them still are, but you know, huge band, especially in the 90s. You know, would you say was their heyday, and he disappeared.
in was it 1995? And I mean, this is, you know, he part of a very successful band. He disappeared at the age of 27. Now, he, you know, he they were very politicized, the band. They were very their lyrics were very, very sort of deep and meaningful, without sounding like a you know, like a bit basic on that, but to do them a disservice. So he was quite a character, but one who one might may say would certainly be prone to overthinking things or whatever, very deep in thought. And he I mean, he's been presumed dead. It's not, when was it? In 2008, I think he was declared presumed dead because he's never been found. And it was not long before they were going to the US on a promotional tour of their album, which was called The Holy Bible. And he disappeared. And 2 weeks before he disappeared, he withdrew £200 a day from his bank account, which came to a total of £2,800. And obviously back in those days, that was that money would have gone a little bit further. And it's not known what he was going to do with that money. Quite oddly, that he paid for a desk in a shop that he'd ordered in Cardiff, in Cardiff that he'd ordered, but there was no record of that desk having ever been paid for. Now, I know that seems a bit sort of silly, that piece of information, but the fact is he was taking out a lot of money at the time, and you didn't have online banking back in those days. You didn't have chip and pin and so on and so forth. So he could have been taking it out for the trip to America. Who knows? But it is quite fascinating. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, of course, with various bits and pieces of information. But like,
so he's basically taking up money every day, and then he just disappeared. So like, yeah, that's where the mystery is, because he could have been planning just to disappear.
Well, this is it, Chris.
And wasn't his car found like quite near the Severn Bridge or something?
Yeah, and so again,
so there were had he taken his own life, or had he?
Yeah,
you know,
well, he was taking some Prozac apparently at the time.
Yeah, but you know, as you said, like that taking the money out, that says, you know, he was planning on going somewhere, or you know, he was planning on going on that tour, and I find that very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one. I'd love to know what happened. I mean, it would be amazing, of course, if he was still alive for obvious reasons. But then again, because you don't want who on earth would wish him not to be alive. But then, of course, if he is alive, well, what the bloody hell's
What's
going
he been
on?
Doing? And how? Yeah, exactly. How has nobody found him? And how? In this day and age, and this is the thing, you know, coming back to like the missing people thing. In this day and age, it's so hard to disappear and to stay disappeared that it just like blows my mind that the idea of that, you know, but people might be out there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I find it absolutely fascinating.
What's that TV show on Channel 4? Is it The Hunt or The Chase or something where
they have to elude
capture for a month? Yeah.
Oh,
and it does.
Yeah,
it just shows
that.
You like how that, like, you'd have to be meticulous in your planning and knowing. I mean, more so now than back then, because the amount of sort of CCTV and surveillance that we've got everywhere. But yeah, for someone just to kind of disappear,
yeah,
it's so hard.
Oh, it really is.
I mean, I reckon everyone in prison would probably contest that. Like, we tried to get away and we couldn't. Yeah. Like, you
well,
know,
that's why it's fascinating. You know, decades or longer ago, when great sort of criminal masterminds and so on, people didn't know what they looked like. There's that film, isn't there, with Johnny Depp? It's got a good cast. It's Johnny Depp, Christian Bale in it, and others, called Public Enemies. And Johnny Depp plays John Dillinger, who was the bank robber. Again, back in the day, like, people didn't know. Or like Bonnie and Clyde, or, you know, all these, whoever it may be, these kind of infamous characters. People didn't know what they looked like. Why would they? So you then you would get the kind of pictures up in police stations and all that kind of stuff. But like, John Dillinger was a fascinating one. Like, he really taunted them, apparently. I mean, in the film, it's depicted that he walks into a police station and starts asking them, oh, so have you caught Dillinger yet? And all this kind of stuff.
Oh, now, wow.
I don't know if that may be a bit of creative license, but apparently he was quite gutsy, shall we say.
Yeah.
With what he actually did. So perhaps they did that scene to kind of represent the gall of the man. That's a funny old one.
Well, that's that premise. I mean, that's the first season of The Wire, isn't it? They couldn't... What's the main kind of drug overlord in The Wire? Not Stringer Bell, it was the...
Oh, anyway, yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the whole point of that was that they didn't know who he was. Yeah. And that was even back in the 90s. And they were just like, gosh, how can you capture someone you don't know what they look like?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even that long ago things started to change. And obviously now, you know, where our details are everywhere.
Mm. But one of the classic cases, of course, going way, way back, all the way to the 1880s, if you will, was Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a horrific story.
The thing I would say about that, though, is now I'm not too bothered about who he was.
Like, I know what you mean.
You'd
be interested, though, if suddenly they managed to solve it.
If they did solve it, like definitively solve it, I would be very interested. But I think that kind of someone that was murdering people in the 1880s sort of has
no... I see what you mean.
I'm more interested in kind of...
The Zodiac Killer.
That's another one. Mm. That one I've got... No, yeah, that's not solved, is it?
Still not solved.
That's one with the code.
Yeah, was it the Zodiac Killer that they pinned on somebody recently?
There was something.
But again, with this sort of stuff, it's and the thing is, even if they, you know, solved, if you like, the Jack the Ripper case, because it happened so long ago, people would go, no, that's the most credible theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And you just want to know these things definitively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Jeff Hurst's goal cross the line? Chris, well, in the 1966 Mark. World Cup final.
The first time either of you two haven't done a death one. There's me trying to do Walker's Chris.
We're trying to lighten
this.
It up.
Sarah's murdering people on Russian mountaintops.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so you're
sorry,
trying to, you know, do all that. So yeah, Jeff Hurst, that's a good one.
I did say the moon landings, to be fair.
Oh yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
Although, do you know another one actually is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Did they exist?
Is that cool?
Yeah.
I don't really know that much about this.
No, neither do I, comparatively.
One of the ancient wonders of the world, right?
One of the ancient
wonders. Is there a question as to whether they existed?
Yeah, there is.
I've never actually thought about this. Mm. Hanging gardens. What's hanging?
The gardens.
Yeah. What are they hanging from?
Next question.
Lampposts.
People. I don't know.
Clouds.
Suddenly it's like, I've always heard that, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and I'm only just now being like, what were they? What's that?
Pagoda. A big old pagoda. I know what you mean. Yeah, I think. Well, there are some written sort of manuscripts and so on that would describe this incredible thing, which the Babylonians had. And again, it's an empire that is so difficult to know about. You know, just so far away in history. But I think archaeologists and stuff have never really found anything that would suggest that there was this. There's this thing, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, you know. So again, does something like that exist, and then it leaves without a complete trace? I mean, I think ruins and that kind of thing are just absolutely. I'm an absolute bugger.
Flipping love a ruin.
Oh, they're magnificent. I mean, ancient Rome is an absolute treasure trove.
Oh, I've never been. I'd love to go.
I mean, as in the ruins around that time.
Yeah,
you know,
Just
dusty old rocks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Here he comes.
The more dust, the better. but it is quite fascinating. But of course, with like ancient Rome and ancient Greece and so on, there's loads there that you can piece together. Don't do it yourself. The archaeologists will do that for you, and they'll do a more comprehensive job. But then when you get to things like Stonehenge, it's kind of that's an interesting one. But there's another one, which is the Ring of Brodgar. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, which is in Orkney. Basically, I just saw a Billy Connolly video in the 90s, and he danced around them nude. But
it's where you get all your best material.
Exactly. Why on earth would I try and create my own when other people? But it's the only major henge and stone circle in Britain, which is an almost perfect circle.
There we go.
See, most henges do not contain stone circles, Chris. I know you often argue the point, but that is
always.
The
case.
It's my main bother in life. Sarah's is thinking about missing people at night, and mine circular henges.
But I just find it interesting that you have this amazing thing that's been left in history, and nobody has a clue.
Something related to this that I need to share in a minute.
Please, far away.
Have you heard of the Antikythera mechanism?
No.
Oh my goodness! So they found this thing. It was divers, I think, in the early, I think it was the early 1900s. It was a long time ago, and they found bits of this device, and they were basically like, "What is this?" And it's been dubbed the world's first analog computer but it's around 2,000 years old.
Yeah, okay, I have heard of this.
Again, if you look it up, look at the pictures of it. It's incredible. It's got all these kind of cogs and things, and I think the
dial-up tone is very much like that. Kind of
you'd imagine as they turn the wheel. That's the. But they think it was something AOL. To do. They think it was something to do with understanding the position of like the sun and the moon and the planets and that kind of thing. Mm. But there's still like a lot of mystery around how on earth 2,000 years ago did they make this and what were they doing. I find that amazing.
I do as well. So with regards to what they did years ago and some of the specifics, I mean, even some, this wouldn't be a mystery, of course, this is just sheer brilliance, you know, but how, you know, maps drawn up and stuff and how accurate people were. But the one though is who built the pyramids, and people immediately go, well, it was slaves and it was so on. And yeah, they, I'm quite sure that they,
I mean,
were
it wasn't
who,
aliens, was it? You know,
it wasn't aliens, no, but the, you know, there's a video that's done the rounds before of historians
of people building the pyramids.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just
they used that old computer they found in,
The footage is a bit grainy, I'll be honest. But,
a bit like Loch Ness.
But there are one or two historians. There was a video of one passionately saying this. It just wasn't built by slaves. It wasn't built by this. If you look at all the coordinates, if you look at what it was done, this was so much care and attention was put into it. You know, it wasn't just, yeah, let's build these things. You know, again, the way it is with the sunlight and the coordinates and so on and so forth. I mean, look. Let's be honest, architects don't build their own stuff. It's usually they get the people to do that for them. So, but yeah,
if you're a slave under pain of death, you would.
Yeah, you make sure you get it right.
Care and attention, wouldn't you? It's like they wouldn't care. Yes, they would more than most.
Chris, what I would want to. You're a man of the cloth.
Yeah.
I want to bring to you the Turin Shroud.
Yeah, go on.
The Turin Shroud.
Bring it to me.
Turin Shroud.
The piece of linen cloth in St. John the Baptist in Turin. One of the most investigated objects in history, I'll have you know. Believed by some to be the shroud in which Jesus was buried in. Mm. And quite incredibly, it does have like a negative imprint on the shroud, which is like, look into this, because whether that's the face of Jesus or not, it's just fascinating.
Even if it is like just a super old shroud of somebody else, it's
totally,
like the fact that you can see that person's face is
remarkable.
Quite insane.
Well, some say it's dated to the Middle Ages, but again, fierce debate about
still
that.
Very old.
Absolutely, yeah, indeed, yeah. But it does have an imprint of a face and a body of a man who suffered injuries that were very possibly caused by crucifixion. And honestly, look, I'm not saying I believe it. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't change my faith at all, whether it is or isn't. You know, it would be a nice little Brucey bonus, which is how they do describe the Turin Shroud, of course, in faith terms. But look, this shouldn't make or break your day, but
it's
nice
little Brucey bonus.
This will make the pasta and meatballs go down that little bit better tonight. But it is fascinating when you look into the Turin Shroud and so on, what it's all about and what people claim. But just the facts around it are very interesting.
I think historical or religious historical artifacts are like one on my list was the old Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, well.
And, you know, which obviously is famous in popular culture thanks to Indiana Jones opening it up and destroying the Nazis.
Oh, spoilers, Chris, spoilers.
Yes, sorry if you haven't seen that
35 that film.
film. But I think for me, I think the mystery for me is, you know, if it is around, then the sort of legend is it's in a church in Ethiopia. And I think it was only last year there was fighting broke out around it and 800 people died trying to defend
the church.
Yeah,
that is very
strange. That sort of stuff. But I'm like, why can't we just go and check?
the
mystery for me is like, if it's really there, if it's really this thousands and thousands of year old important historical and religious artifact for a lot of the religions, then why can't we just check?
Yeah, I agree. Do you know what? There's a fascinating one. I didn't know about this until I went to the city of Valencia in Spain, which I recommend. But there's a claim that the Holy Grail itself, talking of Indiana Jones, is in a church
In well, the Chapel of the Holy Grail. You know, what came first?
Does what it says.
The Chapel of the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Don't tell them where it is, or I hide it in that place called the Holy Grail.
Oh no!
How did they find it? I don't know. I have no idea how they found it.
It's a genius. You know, it didn't need sat nav for that one. The cup has been in Valencia since the 15th century, and it's again, it's one of those artifacts that's got a very interesting story. It's covered in sort of precious jewels and so on, which people think, well, hang on, for a thing that's meant to be over 2,000 years old or about that, that seems quite elaborate. But apparently, that's the specific bits are the carvings and the handles, okay, and the basin.
So I was going to say, and the sort
it's
of
been,
thing
it's
that,
been tarted
that,
up a bit,
the sort of thing that a carpenter would have drunk out of in the year, you know, yeah. Mm?
I know what you mean, yeah. What, and also, if who added the jewels?
Yeah.
This is not... I understand this might have a bit of a value, but I just, if we stick on a couple of rubies here...
It's just... Like, I get that it's really important. It's just not very pretty.
Yeah, quite incredibly, though, that Holy Grail is recognised by the Vatican now. I know people will say, oh, well, really, that doesn't add much weight for it for some people and so on. For some people, it would. But Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict the 16th have held Mass in Valencia with the chalice. So, so get on that. And
I you know, respect to the popes. How would they know? I mean,
I don't think they declare. I think that they were recognizing. Okay, this cup's obviously got a bit of value. I wouldn't mind have a drink out of it, and I wouldn't as well, Chris.
Hitler was obsessed with all this stuff, wasn't he? And apparently he found the spear that pierced Jesus's side.
Really?
Allegedly.
I just feel like...
You don't have to say allegedly. He's not going to sue you.
He might. Because he's in Atlantis.
Has it been alleged? Is it
more of a conspiracy online?
How he died is another one. It would be interesting. But anyway, let's not get into that. But I find... Do you know what? With regards to that holy... Grail and so on, we went to the church and I thought, well, let's have a look.
You owed that much.
And then it was like, oh yeah, you need to pay a few euros. And I was like, piss off. No, thank you.
Would Jesus want you to pay a few euros to see the cup he drank out of? I don't know.
Another mystery that perhaps we can't solve today.
One day.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed.
Fingers crossed.
So there we are. There we are. From the Loch Ness Monster to the Cup of Christ. There's many things out there that some are more solvable than others, I would say, in the former. But you know, we will never know the answers to most of these things. But try not to lose any sleep over it. That's what I would urge you, everybody. So, yes, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been an absolute pleasure. Find us on social media at AQQAPod on Insta and Twitter. We'll be back next week with another great show, no doubt. But until then, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.